All right, we're in a series entitled, God Didn't Say That. How many of you like to be misrepresented by what you said? Anybody? Nope, everybody hates it, right? If here's what you hate, same thing I hate. Well, I heard you said fill in the blank, right? And it's nothing that you said. How many of you like that? Anybody? No, we hate it, right? Nobody likes to be misrepresented. And so the whole thrust of this series has been, there are sayings that have been attributed to God throughout the years and have grown in the church circle to be religious or Bible in their intent, when a closer examination will show they're not really biblical sayings. They're not even things that God actually said, right? And we've covered some of those. God won't give you more than you can handle. God only helps those who help themselves. God just wants me to be happy. We've talked about some of those. Now, tonight's my favorite. Tonight's my favorite, right? Tonight's the one that I want to preach more than any of the others, because to me, this one gets to the crux and to the heart of the matter for people. People say this. I don't know if you've heard this, but we're talking about this tonight. God did not say we are all children of God, right? Listen, we hear that in our world a lot now, right? Even preachers, everybody's a child of God, right? Everybody's, and here's the problem. In our world today, where affirmation and validation about who you are is growing rampantly. I mean, listen, I listened to a basketball game, or watched a basketball game the other night, and the commentator on the game made a comment. And he painted with an extremely broad brush. And he called a certain school's fans whiners. He made the comment that these people might not be as smart as they think they are because they go to the state school and not the major university. They're now discussing the possibility of firing this man from his job as a basketball commentator because somebody got offended. And somebody got their feelings hurt. And certainly this major sports network wouldn't allow that to happen. Listen, we live in a world today where people tolerate zero when it comes to being discredited or disvalued. Listen, all you got to do is read the paper and see that that's happening. Read something other than the Daytona News Journal and you'll find that that's the case. People are screaming to be validated for who they are, where they're at, on their journey, no matter what. And one of the popular sayings in the religious circle today is this: everybody's a child of God. We're all children of God. And in a world where validation and affirmation is absolutely being begged for, fought for, challenged in the courts for, this is a difficult topic. Here's another reason why it's difficult. Not everybody has the same experience at home growing up. Would you agree with that? I mean, listen, the word children to me, it's got a great memory. Not only being one, but having children, right? My childhood wasn't perfect, right? But my recollection when I hear the word children or child doesn't throw me back into a place where that is criminal at times in its intent and evil in its actions. But there are people, when they hear the word children, immediately have a complete discoloration of what that looks like because they remember growing up in a home where they were neglected and they were abused and they were abandoned and they were ridiculed and they were run down and they were told they were nothing and talked to like they were nothing and treated like they were nothing. So the whole idea of saying that God didn't say that you're not a child of God, that not everybody's a child of God, opens Pandora's box to people in the church and the Bible being bigoted, being narrow-minded, being unacceptable. I want to show you tonight that's certainly not the case. That just because the phrase, God didn't say we're all children of God, isn't true, doesn't mean that God has less value for you. It doesn't mean that God cares less for you. It certainly doesn't mean that you're less valuable. It just means we have to understand it better. And I am convinced that a better understanding of it will make what God actually did say better than what it was. Listen, I love kids. I mean, nothing makes me cry more than talking about my own children, which is why I don't, unless I'm mocking them, so I don't cry, right? But being a parent is an emotional thing, right? And kids are funny, and I was trying to think of the funniest story that I knew, and you will just have to take my word for it. Back in Illinois, there were churches that were very legalistic and narrow-minded in their intent. And one of these churches in our community in the country was led by a man that when he would preach, he would literally call people out from the stage. If you were sleeping, if you were talking, if your kid was being rambunctious, he would stop his sermon and he would call you and your child out in the middle of the sermon. How would you like that, right? You get up to walk out, I'll be like, hey, sit down, right? So, but that's what this pastor would do. Brother Phil, he ruled his flock with an iron fist. He was a guy that my brother, who in the ministry looked up to. He was smart and he was wise, but he had a rough, rough way about him. And so Dallas was preaching one weekend and he took his family to this church to worship. And so they were there in their Sunday best. And Dallas was in his suit and the kids were all sitting there. And Dallas's youngest daughter, Savannah, was probably about 3, maybe 4 years old. And she was there. And listen, it was a church that was small enough, they didn't have children's ministry. You took your children to church because, by golly, that's the way God wanted it. You kept your kids in service with you, right? I don't know about you, but I'm glad my kids aren't in service with me. Thank God for children's ministry. But this church had it. So they're there, and everybody's behaving because it's Phil's church, and they've sang their hymns, and it's time for the old rugged cross, and they sing it to get ready for communion. And during communion in these kind of churches, there ain't no dancing on the stage, okay? There's no music playing. It is quiet, and the holiest people are the quietest people, right? And so they're sitting there, and communion's going by, right? And Savannah, God bless her, she's being a handful. Dallas is embarrassed. He's trying to keep her quiet and trying to calm her down, trying to get to say anything, right? And she wants communion. And my brother Dallas is, you're not taking communion when you're 4 because you don't know Jesus, right? That's the way he was. And so communion goes by, and my brother is trying to explain to Savannah, who's 3 or 4, this is why you can't have communion, honey, right? And he tells her, you can't have communion unless you're a Christian. Savannah hops up on the pew in the middle of this quiet church, and she screams at the top of her voice, well, I want to be a Christian, but you won't let me, right? Yeah. One of the funniest stories I've ever heard. And if you knew my brother and you knew Phil, it would even be funnier, because my brother was mortified, right? Mortified, right? I want to be a Christian, but you won't let me. I hope that that's not the case for anybody tonight, because I want people to know that just because God didn't say, we're not all children of God. He didn't say we can't all become children of God. So let's just walk through 3 questions or 3 statements that are in your bulletin. Okay, let's just walk through them together. Okay, let's read Psalm 139 together. I'm going to give you a couple other scriptures in there that I'm not going to read, but I want to read this one. Okay, Psalm 139, 14 through 17. David's writing. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Everybody say fearfully and wonderfully made. That's who you are. Everybody. Right? Somebody say amen. Amen. Right? You're not made to be afraid of. Right? You're not made to wonder at. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you say amen? Amen. There's no untruth to that statement. He says this, David does, your works are wonderful. And I know those full well. He says, my frame, my body was not hidden from you, God, when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven, when I was knit together in the depths of the earth. He says, your eyes, God, saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God, and how vast is the sum of them. Listen, there is a distinct difference in Scripture between being made in the image of God, as Genesis 1:26 and 7 says, and being a child of God. Every person made on this planet is made in the image of God. Can you say amen to that? Listen, creating something in your image doesn't make it your child. It doesn't. For your child to be your child, you need to either birth that child or adopt that child. Would you agree with that? Listen, no matter what you make in your own image, it's not your child unless it goes through some kind of birth or adoption process. You see, we've mistaken the idea that being created in God's image somehow entitles us to being his child or his son. God says we are all made in his likeness. We are stamped with what is called the Imago Dei, the very image of our God. That in and of itself, as we're going to find out, does entitle anybody to being a child of God just by that fact alone. And we've transitioned from creation to being a child because we don't want anybody to feel disvalued, offended, unwanted. And listen, when you go to compromising the core, listen, this sermon is the core of what it means to become a Christian and how a person does it. When you compromise the integrity of becoming a child of God by simply saying anybody created by God is a child of God, you run an incredible risk of compromising the truth of what it means to be a Christian. And I'm telling you, if you compromise it at this level, you will show little desire to lead anybody into a relationship with Jesus, because why do you need it if you're already a child of God? Jesus came to make that different. So I want you to understand, everybody's made in the image of God. Does that give you value? If you believe in God who created the heaven and earth, if he made you and you're fearfully and wonderfully made, does that give you value, yes or no? Say it like you mean it. Of course it does. Does it give the people in your life value? Does it give people all over the world value? Does it matter what the color of their skin is? Does it matter where they live? Does it matter who they know? Does any of it matter? No. If God made you, there's value for that. That's affirmation. That's validation. Right? Let's not get so carried away in not offending anybody with the truth of the gospel that we're willing to say everybody's a child of God. God's going to be it clear. It's not true. So let's go to the three statements. They're in your Bible. The first one is this. The question, who can become a child of God? Right? Who can become a child of God? So let's read a couple of scriptures here. John 8. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a what? Slave to sin. Okay? How many of you sinned? Yes or no? Right? Sin. Maybe you're here tonight. You're not a follower. Don't buy this stuff. Fine. Even you would admit, without it being a religious thing, that you have not lived up to your expectations, and there are times you've done something that you thought you shouldn't. Would you agree with that? Yes or no? Right? Or you've not done something that you've told yourself, I should do this, and you've not done it. Would you agree with that? Listen, you don't have to be a Christian or even a believer in God to own the fact that you're probably not perfect. Yes or no? Right? Here's what he says. When you behave that way, you become a slave to the thing that you fail at. You become a slave to that sin. And here's what he means. He says a slave, check this out, look at the relationship change. A slave has no permanent place in the what? In the family, but a son belongs to it what? Forever. For if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Here's what you need to understand. Jesus wasn't writing this or speaking this in 2017 to Ormond Beach and Tomoka Christian Church. He was speaking this in the first century culture. He was speaking this in context to his disciples and to the Pharisees in a culture where this is how slavery worked. You went to the market. You took your son. You took your daughter to the market. And you auctioned them off to the highest bidder. Somebody would purchase said daughter, said son. And that person became a slave of the person who bought it. And here's what he's saying. When you become a slave of somebody who purchases you, you're no longer part of this family. You now belong legally to that family. Does that make sense to you? Every Jew would have understood that. Every Jew understood the marketplace concept of slavery. Now, check this out. Let's go to Romans 6. Hang with me, because if you can get this, because here's the thing. Who can become a child of God? You see, we don't want to offend people and say, well, you're not a child of God. Well, everybody's a child of God because everybody's created in the image of God. No. Don't sell the gospel short by thinking, I got to make people feel valued. I can't offend anybody. Listen, those people don't need you to value them. They need you to tell them the truth. Because the Bible says the truth in Jesus sets people free. Can somebody say amen? I don't want to hurt your feelings. Doesn't help anybody. Tell them the truth, right? And here's the truth. If you're a slave to something, you're no longer part of the permanent part of the family. Only a child can have that identity. Does that make sense to you? Okay? Look at Romans 6 says. What then? Shall we sin because we are under law, are not under law, but under grace? Paul says, by no means. Listen to this. Again, he's talking to first century people. He's writing a letter to people who lived in Rome, the hub of this nation that had completely seized control of that area and put people into slavery every day. Here's what he says. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him or her as a slave, you are a slave to the one whom you obey? Whether you're a slave to sin, which leads to death, or whether you're a slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Simple concept. If you get bought by somebody, you become their what? You become their slave. You become their legal property. You're no longer part of the permanent family that sold you. You're now, listen to the phrase, bought into slavery. Now he says this, thanks be to God that though you used to be a slave, a doulos, bought and paid for individual, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and you have been set free from sin. Implication, you've been set free from slavery, and you've become a slave to something else. What is the form of teaching that they obeyed to get out of slavery? Because listen, I say this every week, you may not like God's nature, he doesn't care. God's perfect whether you like it or not. It just is. And you can struggle with that and wrestle with that because God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. He didn't. Listen, you go angry, you go searching, you go arguing, knock yourself out. If you seek God with all your heart, you're going to find him, no matter what the questions are. But God's nature is perfect. And you know whether you're a Christian or not in this room tonight, you're not. Can somebody say amen? When you chose to not be perfect, you sold yourself into what? Slavery. Which means what God created in you, what God created in you to be a child of God, you've now severed by being sold into slavery. And check this out, you are no longer a part or a permanent part of the family. You're a slave. And here's the way it worked in Jesus' day. If I wanted my daughter back, I'd have to redeem her. If I wanted to buy my family member back from slavery, I'd have to redeem her, which means I'd have to go and I would have to pay the redeemer's price to buy her or him back from the owner. And when I purchase her, she now becomes a part of my what? Of her family. That's the way the slave market worked in the day of Jesus. So you would be in debt, and you would be sold into debtor's prison, and somebody would buy you, and you would work for that person to pay your debt off, right? If you wanted to buy that person out of slavery, you would have to pay what's called redemption, the redeemer's price. Once you paid it, that person has been set free from slavery, and they're now what? Free. Here's what Jesus says. Who can become a child of God? Everybody can become a child of God. And here's why. Because every person ever walked the face of the earth has become a slave to sin at some point in time or the other. You don't have to argue with a non-believer about whether they're perfect or not. They already know they're not. All you got to do is show them that in that process, what God made in the Imago Dei has been broken, and you're now a slave to something else, and now you've got to be bought back. You've got to be redeemed. So here's what it says in Romans 3. I'm going to say this. I say it to my Saturday night group. If you know Romans 3, 21 through 26, you can teach the gospel to anybody in the world. Six of the most powerful verses in all of Scripture completely details the gospel and how it works from beginning to end. Here's what it says. Everybody say, but now. Which means he's already proven there's a way that's not working. But now, he says, there is a way to be made right with God. Righteousness from God is simply the Greek way of saying there's a way for you and I to be made right with God. Okay? And here's what it is. We can be made right with God apart from the law, which means we can be made right with God apart from being what? Perfect. And all the sinners in the room said, well, there's not very many sinners in the room, right? If you can be made right with God apart from being perfect, you should say what? And hallelujah, and praise the Lord, and thank you, right? The problem is some of you still think you can be made right with God and because you're perfect, and sorry to hear you say that, it's not true. There's a way for you to be made right with God apart from the law, and here's what he said, it's been made known, and the Bible, all the law and all the prophets testify. The Old Testament has done nothing but point to the gospel ever since it was written. And here's what it says. Here's how it is. The way to be made right with God comes through faith. Everybody say faith. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It comes through what? Faith in the way a person is made right with God without being perfect is having faith in who? Listen, this isn't enough, okay? Just because a Cardinal player hits a home run and does this doesn't make him a Christian, right? Now, when a Cub player does. It means he's a Christian, right? But not a Cardinal, right? Listen, pointing to the heavens to give God glory doesn't make you a Christian. Right? Doesn't make you a Christian. Having faith in who? Jesus. To all who what? Believe. And there's no distinction. It don't matter if you're black or white, red or green, poor, rich, tall, short, male, female, Jew, slave. It don't matter. God doesn't make a distinction saying you can be saved, you can't be saved, you can be saved, you can't be saved. God doesn't have that. Here's what he says. For all have what? Which means we have all failed at some standard, therefore enslaving ourselves to failure at some level. And that's not a Christian thing, church. Non-Christian people have said, man, I really don't want to do that. I should not do that. That is wrong for me to do. And then they've done it. Would you agree? Non-Christian people have said, you know what? I should do that. That's the right thing to do. And then they've what? Not done it. Do you think they've sinned? Do you think they've sinned? Of course they have. They violated their own conscience and their own standard. Guess what? All of us fall short. Listen, if you're falling short of your own standards, what do you think you're doing with God's standards? Right? We're all falling short of the glory of God. This is why we need this path. He says, for all, and we are all what? Justified freely. Everybody say freely. By his grace through the what? Redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Here's who can become a child of God. Anybody can who's a sinner. Because once you fail, you have bound yourself in a slave relationship to something else. And God said, for me to get you back legally, I got to pay the Redeemer's price. And guess what he paid? He killed his son for you. And when you put your faith in that person, you now have the ability to become a child of God. You see, when you dummy it down and say, oh, everybody's a child of God, you eliminate the best part of the gospel. You eliminate all of the hope that's found in Jesus, and you certainly minimize the need to preach and teach about Jesus. Listen, if you're bound by sin as a slave and need to be set free, somebody's got to buy you. Listen, if you don't believe it, just do some research on the sex trade that's going on in our world today. These girls are being snatched up and put into slavery. Do you know what happens to them? They get bought and they transfer ownership from these people, these pimps, all over the world. Because to be set free as a slave, you've got to be what? Bought. For a person to become a child of God, they have to be bought. It's a redeemer's price. And guess what the Redeemer's price was to set you free from being a slave to sin? It was Jesus. So who can become a child of God? Everybody can. Those children in South Daytona Elementary who are living in their car, who are struggling to get any food in their bellies because they don't have any money, who don't have power in their homes, who don't have water in their homes. These people who get free and reduced lunches, do you know what God says? You are so valuable to me as the imago Dei that when you gave yourselves to be slaves to sin, I went to the market and I bought you back. Do you not think that affirms value in people? But when you just tell people, listen, I don't know who you know, but I know some pretty messed up people. And if you tell those messed up people who aren't Christians, you're a child of God. You know what they're immediately going to think? There's something wrong with my dad. Because if I was God's child, he'd be whooping me. And he wouldn't like me because there's nothing about me to like. Right? When you tell people they're already a child of God and they know in the depth of their soul, in the darkness of their bedroom, that they're a miserable, wretched human being who's failed tons of people and can't live up to it, you know what they're going to think? That has no value in my life. It can't be true. But when you tell somebody who knows they're messed up, that in that messed up relationship, they've bound themselves to something that sets them apart from the one who made them, and explain to them that in being a slave, somebody has to buy your release, and you tell them about Jesus and how he bought your release, you tell everybody they can become a child of God. And it's the best part of knowing that God didn't say we're all children of God. It's the part that brings value to the individual without compromising the integrity of the gospel. Does that make sense to you? Here's what he did. Bring that verse back up. Romans 3 real quick. It says he became a redemption. Here's what it was. God presented Jesus as a what? Sacrifice of atonement, a covering. And what was he covering? He was covering your debt. So he presented him to cover your debt through faith in his blood. He did it. Why did God do it? He did it to demonstrate his justice. Because you were bought, you had to be paid for. God could have looked at you and said, you know what? You're pretty cool people. You look good. You smell good. I like where you live. I like the way you do things. You know what? I'm going to just set you free without paying it. That would have made God very unjust because he could have looked at some of us and said, you know what? I don't like you. You're too tall, right? You're just too dumb. You're ugly. I don't like your car. I certainly don't like the team you root for. I don't like anything about you. And could have said, you know what? No matter what you give me, I'm not setting you free. God didn't do that. He said, everybody has the same debt. I'm going to be just and pay it. And guess what? Every person in the world has had their debt paid through Jesus, which means who can become a child of God? Anybody. But how are they going to become a child of God? You and I got to tell them. We got to tell them. And if you're telling them, oh, you're a child of God, you're special at his side, and then you're going to tell them about Jesus, they're going to go, what's the point? If I'm already a child, I don't need Jesus. Don't compromise the integrity. He goes on to this because he says in his forbearance, God's forbearance, he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be just to the one, just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, who can become a child of God? Who can become a child of God? Not just anyone, but everyone. Everyone. It's just a matter of explaining how the process works. Just because people have marred the image of their Creator doesn't mean they have less value to the Creator. If anything, it signifies how much value you do have to Him because He came to the marketplace and He bought you back. He paid your debt. Those are the kind of people you love. Somebody pays your debt off at the bank, you're going to love them, yes or no? Listen, you're in the drive-thru at Steak and Shake and somebody pays you, you're the car behind the car at the window, and you get up there and the person says, hey, the car in front of you just paid your bill. You feel good about that, yes or no? You ever go out to dinner and some waitress comes over and goes, I can't tell you who, but somebody picked up your tab tonight. You love that person, yes or no? Listen, we love it when people pay our debt. God paid your debt. He went to the marketplace, paid your debt, bought you back, and said, now, you can become a child of God. Yes, good thing, yes or no, right? So here's the second thing. How do I do it? How do I become a child? Really simply, you heard the verse, we sang it. John 1, 11 through 13. Here's what Jesus said. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He's talking about the Jewish people. He said, yet to all who did receive him, that word in the Greek is lambano. It means to pick something up with intent or volition, meaning that's mine. A person who picks it up with lambano is a person that says, that's mine, I'm going to pick it up, right? I walked through the cafe today, and there was a blue ink pen on the ground. I looked around, made sure nobody was looking, and I lambanoed that pen. I picked it up like it was mine, right? I stuck it in my back pocket, went to my office, and put it in my pen holder. Guess what? That's my pen now, right? Lambano. He says to those who receive Jesus, who take him volitionally, intentionally, and says, that's mine. And to the person who believes in his name, what happens? He gives them the right to become what? Children of God. Listen, if you're telling everybody they're already a child, that verse doesn't make any sense, does it? It just doesn't make any sense. But when you recognize, it's really simple. How do you and I become children of God? We accept the fact that God went to the marketplace and paid our debt. We receive that, and we believe that. That's it. We have done a terrible job for years telling other people there's so many things that you have to do to earn it, to get it. It's really simple. Jesus himself said, here's how you have the right to become a child of God. Receive and believe. Everybody say receive and believe.
Receive and believe.
Seems too simple, doesn't it? Seems too simple, doesn't it? Sure it does. Because you've looked at other people who've simply received and believed and you've watched them and went, oh, I don't think they're a Christian. Jesus said this, if you receive and believe, you have the right to be a child of God. Who can be a child of God? Everybody say everyone. Everyone, because how many people's debt's been paid? Everyone's, right? Which means you've been set free. They just need to tell you you're free, right? That's what we have to do. And then here's the thing. How do you do it? You receive and believe. You receive and believe what? Jesus. He's the one. That's why worshiping Jesus should be fun and a blast. But people don't like worshiping Jesus because honestly, they just don't get it. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand what the big deal is, right? But dude, when you listen, when you realize that Jesus is the debt covering, it's the payment at the marketplace for your freedom, and you realize that all you got to do to be set free forever from that bondage is to receive and believe, you come into this place and you are what? You are happy, you are hopping, you are raising your hands, you are shouting. You want to know why? Because nothing in life is free. Nothing in life is free. But salvation is free. It's free. Because you can't do any... Listen, if you can do anything for your salvation, it can't be free. And there are some of you today that have accepted Jesus and you're still trying to help him pay your debt. You still think it's your job to come alongside. And the reality is this, there's nothing wrong with being righteous. There's nothing wrong with being holy. There's nothing wrong with saying no to sin. It's the way we're supposed to be. But when you tie it to the fact that you can only be saved if you do it, you ruin it. You've ruined it. And you've made it impossible for people. Because you're trying to save people who in their own simplified way, are trying to be the best version of themselves they can be. And guess what? They can't. And you've provided them religion that says that Jesus says, but you better behave to keep it. Do you know what those people think about your religion? I'm in trouble. You know who can become a child of God? Everybody. And you know how you become a child of God? You receive and believe. You take it in a Lombano style. You pick it up with volition because it's whose? It's yours. But I'm just going to tell you, if you receive Jesus that way in the church, you're going to get people who give you the stink eye. If you take it up like it's truly free, you don't have to earn it, your behavior doesn't solidify it, but it's totally free, people are going to give you the stink eye. Because they're going to know that you're not everything that you think Jesus thinks you are. Do you know what you should do for those people? Just give them a big old holy kiss. Right on the cheek. Just give them a holy kiss. Right? Embrace it. It's what we have been given to be a child of God. You want to know why? Because God knit us together. He gave us the image of our Creator. And we marred that or broke that with our choice to not live up to our own standards or God's standards. Became in bondage to sin. Thank you, Megan. Cord, let's kick this pig. Oh, I love you, right? So, yeah, let's kick this pig. That's the Southern Illinois way of saying, let's get this thing moving, right? So here's the thing. Who can become a child of God?
Everyone.
Everyone. We can't all be children of God until we know that we're not because of our new relationship with sin. Now we need to be paid for. We need to be redeemed. The Bible says it's very simple. God redeemed you by paying for you. And he used who? Jesus. Killed him. Because your debt was death. He killed Jesus on the cross, put him in the tomb, and 3 days later, God said, debt paid forever, death doesn't win. Now, how do you become one? You what? Receive and believe. Let's read two other scriptures, Galatians 3:26. Okay? Galatians 3:26-29 says this. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through what?
Faith.
Not through church attendance, not through mission trip going, not through minding your P's and Q's and being the moral standard of everybody around you. You become a child of God through what?
Faith.
In who? Jesus. For all of you who were what? So let's take it another step. Receiving and believing has a baptism component in it. It just does. And again, it's one of those things that you can argue about till you're blue in the face. But Paul says, to everyone who believes in Jesus, they're sons of God. What's he say? For all of you who were what? Baptized. The assumption is your faith leads you to be baptized. That's what he says. So some of you, your next step in your relationship with Jesus as a child of God is to surrender baptism. We can do it right now, right after service. Not a problem. We can do it in the ocean. We can go to Joe's pool and do it. He won't care, right? I'm not doing it in the Halifax River. You have to get somebody else to do that. I'm not doing it, okay? But we'll baptize anytime, anywhere, because the next step of faith for people who want to become a child of God is always about baptism. It has to be. And listen, they're two separate steps, but together they accomplish something great. For all of us who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all what? One in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are what? Heirs according to the promise. John, in chapter 3, Jesus had a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, and here's what the conversation was. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the ruling council of the Jews. He came to Jesus at night, and he said this, Jesus, or rabbi, teacher, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you do if God were not with him. I love that because Nicodemus tells Jesus what the Pharisees are really saying when they're meeting together without him. This cat's from God, right? I love that, right? So here's what he says. And Jesus, in reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? Born again. Sounds like how you make a child, right? He says, how can a man, Nicodemus does, how can a man be born, referring to himself, how can I be born when I'm old? I can't enter a second time into my mother's womb to be born. So Jesus tells him how to be born again. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of what? Water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then he goes on to give a discourse about the wind. Listen, here's what he's saying. Who can be a child of God?
Everyone.
Come on, say it. Who can be a child of God?
Everyone.
Everyone. You want to know why everybody can be a child of God? Because God loves the Imago Dei. And when the Imago Dei, you and me, created the image of God, became slaves to something we couldn't live up to, God went to the marketplace and he paid for your debt and he bought you back and he bought your husband back and he bought your wife back and he bought your son back and your daughter back. He bought you back. And here's how you get it. You receive and believe. Amen? You receive and believe. It's just that simple. It's free. And here's what you do. When you receive and believe, you enter into what? Baptism. And Jesus says, you've been born again. Does that make sense, church? Somebody say amen. Last, real quick, what does a child of God now look like? Listen, you've met these kids, right? You've met these kids that the minute you saw them, the minute you heard them, the first thing you said was, oh my gosh, you're just like your mom. Right? Anybody? Right? The minute you see them or the minute you hear them, you look at them and go, oh my gosh, you're just like your dad. Right? That's just, you know those people, right? And you know the power of that, right? I mean, when Jeremiah was around and on staff, he and I sound just alike. At least that's what people would say. Because when I would walk in and I would speak, I would have people come to me all the time, oh my gosh, you sound just like Jeremiah. And I'm like, let's get this straight. He sounds like me, okay? Okay? But we had, and everybody would, and here's the thing. The minute somebody experienced that and went, oh, that's got to be Jeremiah, and then they found out it was me, they were like, oh, it's crazy. It's crazy how much he sounds like you. You know kids like that, that they are so much like their parent, either in looks or actions, that you are blown away about how powerful that connection is. Yes or no? Right? How many of you have a kid like that in your home that's just like one of the other one of you? right? I mean, it's crazy. And when they look like you and they act like you, that's even crazier, right? Here's what a child looks like. A child looks like their parent. It's just that simple. That's what the expectation is. And you and I know the power of that. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 8:14. Because those who are led, everybody say led. Because those who are led by the what? Spirit of God are what? Sons of God. Here's the first characteristic of a person asking the question, what does a child of God look like? They're led by the Spirit. It's just really simple. I'm amazed at how complicated we make the Bible. He says, because those of you who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Children of God. So if you're a child of God, what does that look like? You're led by the Spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. How's the Spirit lead? Well, the Bible's pretty clear how He leads. He leads in love. He leads in joy. He leads in peace. And he leads in patience and gentleness and faithfulness and goodness and self-control. You want to know if you're a child of God and you're being led by the Spirit? Are you loving? I mean, are you agape loving? Are you sacrificially loving? Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you peaceful? Or are you constantly in conflict? Right? Do you have joy, or are you constantly down because the circumstances of your life stink? You see, a person who's led by the Spirit exhibits the characteristics of the what? Spirit. That's what a child looks like. He goes on to say this in verse 15, for you didn't receive a spirit that makes you a slave. Somebody say, thank God, right? We didn't get that. Now we've been identified as free people. We're now part of the permanent family. That's what Ephesians 1 says. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. It's the down payment of your redemption. Somebody say amen. And in that spirit, he says, you and I received a spirit of sonship, and by it, we can cry out, Abba, Greek word, Hebrew word, daddy or father. You see, the Spirit, Holy Spirit himself, testifies with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. And if we're children, then we are what? Heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. What does a child of God look like? They're led by the Spirit. You're led by the fruit of the Spirit. You're led by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. If you're a child of God, you should look like your dad, which means you should be led by the Spirit. If you're nasty and impatient and mean and unkind and not gentle, come on, man. Don't be saying something you're not. And here's the thing about God. If you're a child of His because you received and believed, you can bet He's going to discipline you. He's going to discipline you. And here's what it says in 1 John 3:10, and we'll wrap it up. Everybody read this with me. This is how, everybody stop and read it again. This is how, so it's going to be very clear here, right? This is how we what? No question about it here. This is how we know what? Who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. This is what you want to know, right? This is what you want to know. You want to know who in this room really is a Christian, right? This is what you want to know. You want to know, is your husband, is your wife, is your son, are they really a Christian? Isn't this what most Christians want to know? You want to know who is posing in this room and who's real, right? Listen, let's just lay it out. John says, this is how we know. The word gnosis means this is possible for you to understand. Guess what he says? This is how we know. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. Don't you think we've measured the wrong things at times? I mean, parents measure the wrong things all the time with their kids. I mean, we got jacked up kids because our parents set unbelievably stupid expectations on their kids to be their child. And you know what children grow up thinking? I got no shot here. Listen, God's expectations are pretty simple. You want to know who a child of God is? A person who does what's right and a person who loves his brother. Don't you think we've measured the wrong thing? I mean, I grew up in an era where people were measured whether they were a Christian by how often they attended church. I mean, that's just the way it was. If you were a Christian, you came to church 4 Sundays in a row, and you were there Sunday night, and you were there Wednesday night. Do you know the average Christian, air quotes, attends church 1.7 times a month now? Those people wouldn't be considered children of God in 1980, right? They'd be considered opposer. Jesus is pretty clear. Children of God, what do they look like? They're led by the Spirit. They're full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. You know what else they are? They're people who just do what's right. And they're people who love other people. What did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your what? Neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's not complicated. Anybody that thinks that's dummying down what God's expectations are just doesn't understand God at all. Because is there anything greater in the world than a person who loves somebody this way, like that young lady Jasmine does with those third graders, because she loves a God this way? Is there anything more powerful? Not at all. And here's the last one. Skip that one and bring up Matthew 5:16. Why is all this important? Because of this verse here. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your what?
Good deeds
and praise your
Father.
Not your God, not your sovereign Lord, but they will praise your what?
Father
in heaven. You see, children of God have a massive responsibility to reflect who their God is. Because if the people here who aren't children of God can't find your Father by the way that you're living, they have little or no chance to praise Him and walk into a relationship with Him. And again, I say this every week. We spend so much time dogging each other for our choices when what we should be doing is building each other up to live in such a way that God, our Father, is being glorified and being exhibited in this world. And you know how you do it? You just do what's right. And you love your brother. And you let the Spirit lead you into love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and self-control. And then we got a shot, people. We got a shot at making sure everybody can become a child of God. Does that make sense to you, church? Listen, not everybody's a child of God. Everybody's created in the Imago Dei. That relationship changed when one person could not live up to the expectation of moral conditions. They became slaves. God went to the market and He purchased you with Jesus, paid your debt. Guess what you do to get it? You receive and you believe. And you let that faith take you into baptism. And then when you're done, you look like your dad. And when you look like your dad, other people will see that stuff and they'll glorify that same Father who's in heaven. Make sense to you, church? Somebody say amen. Let's pray. God, thank you that we are children, your children. I'm certain in this room, even a room this small, and even with the people who are watching online, that there are people who for their entire life have struggled with the idea of belonging to a family because of whatever transpired in their life as a child. There are people in this room today, Lord, and people online who just really struggle with the idea that you could give them something free that they have fought for their entire life. And my prayer in this place tonight, God, is there anybody in here who for the first time ever recognizes their need and their desire to become one of your children? God, that you would move them to the front of this auditorium at the end of the service, and that we would enter into conversation with them about becoming a child of God. God, that's only a work that you can do in a person's heart tonight. And so my prayer is that those who call themselves your children will embrace it. They'll love it. They'll live it. And they'll let other people meet you. And for somebody, God, tonight, in this room, who struggled and fought and tried to claim territory that a parent couldn't give them, God, would you help them to know that you will give it to them? And you'll restore them, and all they got to do is receive, and all they got to do is believe. So, God, would you do that work tonight in here? And all of God's people said,
amen.
God bless you, church.